this is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Well, hello, folks. Kaya. It's Jeff here doing Indie Media. I'm really sorry. I feel like a little bit of an imposter here covering for Ray, Alex, Brahma and the team. And I'm missing looking through the window at my good buddies as they cover the next hour normally. But I'll be filling in best I can. We've got some tunes lined up and hopefully we'll be doing a little bit of that Indie Media investigation as we make our way to midday and Rhiann Todhunter coming your way without to lunch from 12 o'clock. Anyhow, I'm here with you for another hour. Let's keep the tunes coming and see what we come up with Indie Media today. This is Melonx off the album Black Elixir, Usual. Doubtless you've heard in the news over the last week the goings on with the Great Barrier Reef. And we do know that the Great Barrier Reef has been suffering things like coral bleaching over the past couple of decades, and the Barrier Reef is certainly in danger. But the Australian government, the federal government, doesn't seem to think so. To explain to us how things are going wrong over there on the Great Barrier Reef, I'm joined now by UWA PhD candidate Kelly Hawes to explain what's going on over there. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Jeff.
Well, Kelly, just to explain to everybody, you study oceanography and coral reef health, and also you're very interested in the Great Barrier Reef from way over here. Why did the Great Barrier Reef, as threatened as we all know it is, not get the listing it deserves?
Yeah. So obviously I'm very passionate about protecting the Great Barrier Reef and about coral reef health because that's pretty much my whole life as a PhD student. A couple of weeks ago, the World Heritage Committee, who are 21 countries strong, so including Australia, they met to decide the fate of the Great Barrier Reef. So a while back, UNESCO, which is the science division of the UN, actually recommended that the reef be put on the in danger list. They went through like a huge process to make this call. They looked at the threats posed by climate change, and actually our own government's report about reef degradation and our targets to improve water quality. And they decided that it wasn't good enough, so that the reef needed to be put on the endangered list. However, once our government found out about this recommendation, they launched this fierce lobbying effort to a whole bunch of different countries, countries like Saudi Arabia, who are known for being quite oil rich and interested in fossil fuels. And they essentially did everything they could to make sure that this decision didn't go ahead. And the World Heritage Committee listened to them and decided against putting the reef on the endangered list. So obviously this is an outrageous decision because, as everybody knows, the Great Barrier Reef has been at risk for many years. The threats of climate change are undeniable. And the science is very evident. It's impossible to deny it.
That's what I don't get, though, Kelly. I mean, as a layperson standing on the outside, there seems to be like this overwhelming mountain of evidence that the Great Barrier Reef is threatened. Why doesn't our federal government get that?
Well, I mean, as we all know, our federal government is quite captured by the fossil fuel industry, meaning that a lot of their money and a lot of their support comes from this industry. So I feel like a lot of their decisions actually reflect the fact that they're trying to push ahead this industry and have it keep thriving in Australia despite all of the efforts that people who can see the science are trying to make against that. So actually, interestingly enough, the Minister for the Environment, Susan Ley, was actually currently in negotiations to approve a new coal mine from Clive Palmer that would have been very, very close to the reef's waters when this decision was up in the air at the World Heritage Committee. So obviously, if this decision had gone ahead and the reef had been labelled as endangered, this would have put an end to this new fossil fuel development before it even began. And there's a whole bunch of other ports and shipping lanes that go through the Great Barrier Reef that are very important to our fossil fuel industry, which I feel that our government would never have allowed this decision to pass. That would have meant such a huge hit to the fossil fuel coffers. So, yeah, it's a bit... a bit bad.
Well, arriving at the decision on that basis, on trying to include mining in, considering the Great Barrier Reef. I mean, the Great Barrier Reef is, correct me if I'm incorrect here, please, Kelly, but I mean, the Great Barrier Reef is threatened as it is by climate change, with coral bleaching taking place. The Great Barrier Reef has also experienced degradation. Well, heck, there was a ship that ran into it only a few years ago. How can we justify using the Great Barrier Reef or that laneway of sea next to the Great Barrier Reef to ship such dangerous materials?
Oh, I don't think you can justify it. I think it's absolutely disgusting and wholly outrageous that our government is putting profits ahead of our reef at this stage. And with all of this science and all of this evidence, and especially with the rest of the world so angry about the way that we've been going with our climate change targets and how much we care, well, the Australian government, not the people, because the people are quite angry about this decision too. I mean, I study coral reef health, and in my field, there's actually most people have stopped discussing how we can stop coral reef bleaching and degradation, but they're more looking into how we can actually revive our reefs once the worst of the damage is done. So it's actually gotten to that point now. It's all about how we can mitigate the worst of the damage. So, you know, the scientists have been saying this for decades. It's just absolutely appalling that the government won't listen to it.
Kelly, the other thing that really confuses me here as well is if we were to look at it from a completely capitalistic point of view, we make so much money, the Australian people make so much money out of the tourism aspect of the Great Barrier Reef. Doesn't it dawn on them that if the Great Barrier Reef disappears, that tourism's over?
Well, I mean, I hope for the Great Barrier Reef's sake that will dawn on them, because it is one of the seven natural wonders of the world. And we are, as the Australian people, actually like the custodians of the reef. We should be protecting it. But I feel that it's quite difficult for the government sometimes to realise that they can break away from the grasp that the fossil fuel industry actually has on them. There was a report written last year by 350 called The Captured State, and it provides a lot of information about why the government continually makes these decisions that are in the interest of the fossil fuel industry, not in the interest of the Australian people and our natural wonders. So if anybody is interested in looking into that, I would highly recommend checking it out. It does provide a lot of these answers.
So, Kelly, what can we do from over here in Perth to protect the Great Barrier Reef? I believe there's a protest coming up this weekend.
Yes, we absolutely need to tell our government, we need to show them and raise our voices, and let them know that we are appalled by this decision and that we want them to protect our reef. There's going to be another meeting of the World Heritage Committee in 6 months' time to review the decision. So I feel like we need to protest and stand up and demand that the government tell the truth about the state of our reef. So yes, there is a protest, an action happening this week, on Saturday at 11 a.m., in the middle of the city, Forest Chase. So if you're angry about this decision and you want to raise your voice and tell the government that they need to act now and actually mitigate the effects of climate change before it's too late, definitely show up, definitely be there. Bring your banners, bring your placards, bring your anger. We need to protect our reef before it's too late.
And on a world level, Kelly, I mean, is it worth writing a letter to UNESCO?
It's worth doing absolutely everything that you can think. I feel like UNESCO is actually pushing this decision forward. So UNESCO already knows. What we need to do is we need to submit letters, write petitions, but most of all, we need to actually take direct action and stand up and protest against this decision ourselves as well.
So really, turning up on Saturday at 11 a.m. at Forest Place is probably the strongest move anyone can make from over here.
Definitely, especially because we are so isolated over here in Perth. We just need to show them that we care. Even though we're far away, this reef is still our reef and it's still part of what makes Australia Australia. It's part of our history. It's part of our culture. We need to protect it.
Well, Kelly, I hopefully there's a lot of people here in Borloo that are going to front and show our support for the Great Barrier Reef from way over here, and hopefully they'll listen. And obviously writing a letter to Federal Environment Minister Susan Ley isn't going to hurt either.
Oh, absolutely. Do everything you can to convince them, and this is the completely outrageous decision that they've made.
Well, Kelly, thank you very much for standing up and supporting the Great Barrier Reef, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of us here at RTR and a lot of the listeners that are going to front on Saturday at the rally in Forest Place at 11 a.m.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
That's a pleasure. That's Kelly Hawes. She's a PhD candidate at UWA studying physical oceanography and coral reef health. So she's somewhat of an expert, and you do need to listen to the warning that she's throwing out there. The Great Barrier Reef is threatened, and our federal government isn't doing a great deal about it. So make sure you get there on Saturday. Protest, 11 a.m, Forest Place, this Saturday. Be part of it, folks.
You're listening to the Indie Media Podcast, first broadcast on RTRFM 92.1.
You're tuned in to Indie Media, brought to you today by Jeff. Hope you're enjoying today's show. In a moment, it's going to be time for Out to Lunch with Rhianne Todhunter. But right now, Alana Garlett passed away last month in Perth's cold snap, drenched, freezing, and with a respiratory illness, homeless and exposed to Perth's harsh winter. Alana was just 38 years old. She was a mother of six and had been homeless since 15. Just to give you the heads up on that, 56 people died on the streets last year, and we're up to about 30 so far this year. And this is likely to be a pretty rash underestimate. Joining me now on the phone is Juliet Miller. Juliet is a retired nurse who is a frontline homeless support volunteer and advocate to explain what's going to be taking place tomorrow with a vigil at Parliament House. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning.
Well, Juliet, Alana's story is a very sad one. Could you tell us a little bit more about the passing of Alana?
There was an article in the paper. I guess a lot of what I know is what I read in the paper and, you know, various other whispers around the homeless organisation. But what I do know, and I've heard from many, many people on the streets and that are living homeless in other people's homes, is just what a warm, giving, mothering person she was. And she took lots of other people under her wing. And just this morning I sat with a woman who discovered Alana had passed when she saw the flyer, and she was just sobbing. She told me that when she was young, Alana saved her life. And I think a lot of people are grieving, and I think this winter has made people feel even more afraid for their own lives. And I think Alana's family allowing people to grieve for both her and them and themselves has been a real activation point for this issue. And I thank her family for allowing the homeless people, especially the people on the streets, to come together in this way, because this is what they want, this vigil.
I mean, Juliet, the passing of Alana in such a manner is horrific in a first world country, in a city like Perth. It's unimaginable that someone should suffer in that way.
Yes, and so many people do. What's even more miraculous is that so many people actually live through this, you know, and it's been my objective to stay on the streets as many days a week as possible and hear people's stories, the real nitty-gritty of what it is like to live homeless and or live in the elements every day. I volunteered at Fremantle Tent City this January when I was living in Fremantle comfortably, and I got to understand that these people don't really have a voice collectively, and I feel that I can use my privileged position in life to listen to those stories and relate those stories to the public and give them a voice.
And Juliet, I mean, the numbers themselves don't, well, they don't lie, and they tell an awful lot of truth, don't they? I mean, 56 people died on the streets last year in Perth, and we're up to about 30 this year. Other numbers don't lie. What was it, 3 degrees this morning? That number doesn't lie when you're freezing on the street. How about another number? How about there's over 17,000 housing applications in with Home West at the moment that aren't likely to get houses for some, now here's an ugly figure, 1,300 years.
Yes.
How do we justify that?
Well, yes, Marta Pasquale did an amazing job of an article a couple of weeks ago. She works for WA Today. She's an award-winning journalist. She got the latest figures. We thought there were around 15,000 applications. That's applications, not people, on the homeless waiting list. And so using the current rate of construction and social homes planned, she did the math, and to clear the current waiting list of 17,000 applications, it will take 1,300 years, and it just, that speaks for itself.
That's just ludicrous.
Yes. Now, the Andrews government in Victoria had a similar problem. Under construction now in Victoria are 12,000 social homes at a cost of over $5 billion. Our government is about to announce what it's going to spend its $5-something billion surplus on. And Alana's family and many of the elders, even just prior to Alana's passing, are asking this government to make a commitment to build at least 10,000 social homes. And we know Aboriginal people are massively overrepresented in these numbers, but behind every one of those numbers is an entire family that is suffering. And this is what this vigil's about. It's about all the people in Alana's family have said that that's what they want.
So to encourage people, we're turning up to Parliament House tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Yes.
What state members are going to come out and greet us?
I don't know. I know that the politicians are in for a late session that night. I think it's their first day back on this current sitting. There has other, since the vigil's been announced, there have been other non-Labor politicians that expressed an interest to speak. There'll be a number of speakers. I'll be giving a short speech myself, but there'll be an open microphone. And we're hoping that people living on the streets and their families, people living homeless in other people's homes, in overcrowded housing, can come and take that opportunity to talk about their experience. You know, at Fremantle Tent City, a man in his 60s stood up one day and said he'd been living on the streets for 30 years. I was just so shocked that that actually happened here. We are the richest state in the country. We're apparently the most livable city in the world, and that is only for some.
Well, it should be embarrassing, shouldn't it?
It is. It's a shame. And I'm not blaming this government. It's been a problem for a long time, and the basket is just full to overflowing. But we elected this government, and it is their responsibility to do something. And we're pleading with them to make that commitment.
Well, Juliet, I guess it's also a responsibility for all of us that that have a roof over our heads tonight to do something about it tomorrow at the vigil.
Yes, please. And after the vigil, because it'll be a bit intense and a bit of sorry business, we're going to have a sausage sizzle over at the park and allow people just to congregate and socialise and talk and meet and, just bring ourselves back into a space of hope.
Well, Juliet, thank you very much for the work that you do in homeless support, in volunteering and advocating. And I do encourage everyone to come out and join us tomorrow evening at Parliament House for the vigil from 5 p.m.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. That's Juliet Miller. Now, Juliet's a retired nurse and works frontline in homeless support, volunteering and advocating. And if you can lend your support tomorrow evening at 5 p.m, get to Parliament House and get our government aware that something needs to be done right now, supporting people that are homeless, so we don't have to have the situation that Alana Garlett experienced ever happening again.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Get up off the couch, folks. It's all going to happen tomorrow. Get to Parliament House from 5 o'clock. Join the vigil, because it just should not happen what happened to Alana. Be part of the protest. And if you can be part of the protest this Saturday, the Great Barrier Reef, do your bit. Get off your butt. go and save it. This has been Indie Media. Coming up, Rianne Todhunter with Out to Lunch, Mika Middens, Full Frequency, Oliver, Drive Time. It's all coming your way. I'll be back in the seat giving you On the Record next Monday, but Jesse's in the chair tomorrow. Time for news, folks. Have a good week.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?